Good morning. My name's Richard. I'm the curate here. And with Keith away enjoying the music of the End of Road Festival, it's my duty to start the new series. And today we do that. We begin the new series on the letter of Philippians titled In Christ. And we're going to be looking over the coming weeks at a variety of In Christ statements that describe what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And each of these is illustrated usefully in the letter from Paul to the church in Philippi. And today we're going to be looking at what it means to be confident in Christ. And I'm just going to look jealously on as the sweets go round the congregation and I don't get one. As this is the first in the series, I thought it would be useful to briefly look at the background of the letter to the Philippians. How did Paul come to know the Philippians? This background is supplied from the book of Acts in chapter 16. It's quite a long chapter, so do go home, have a little look at it for more detail than I'm going to give you right now. But essentially, Paul left a place called Antioch, and his aim, his plan, was to preach in Asia. But Acts 16 says that he was forbidden to do so by the Holy Spirit. He then attempted plan B, to go to Bithynia. But again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow him to do so. And so he ended up in a place called Troas, where he had a vision of a man urging him to go to Macedonia. Paul concluded that God had called him to preach there, and so Paul arrived in Philippi, a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony, where he spent several days. Later on, he continues on his journey, and a bit later, he decides to write to the church of Philippi a letter, having received from them some gifts. And it is this letter that we're going to be looking at over the coming Sundays. And today's central verse, you may have spotted it, it's got the critical word in, is verse 6, which says, I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And the central word in this passage for today is confident. Paul is confident. And there are two aspects to Paul's confidence in this verse, and we're going to have a look at them this morning. Firstly, Paul is confident that God has begun something. God has begun a good work in the Philippians. And secondly, that Paul is confident that God will complete what he has begun. But before we look at these two aspects of Paul's confidence, we need to examine why Paul can say that he is confident. Why is it that Paul can write that he has confidence in God? Because this is crucial to what Paul is writing in his letter. As if he does not have a basis for his confidence in God, there is no foundation for what he writes. His confidence would be quite flimsy, maybe a bit fragile. So how can Paul be confident in God? So firstly, it's that the confidence comes because he's confident that God is in control in all situations and all circumstances. At the time of writing this letter, Paul was imprisoned in Rome. And this was certainly not the first bad experience or the last bad experience that he would have. Often his travels were not as simple as he would have liked. His plans often did not go the way he wanted them to. And we see this in Acts 16, when he first arrived in Philippi. The Philippians were not Paul's first plan. Paul's plan A was to go and preach in Asia, but he was forbidden to do so. Paul's plan B was to preach in Bithynia, but again, he was not allowed to do so. It was not going the way that Paul wanted it to. Paul had put together a strategy. He maybe had a life plan, a series of goals, some objectives that he wanted to complete, but it was not working out according to his plans at all. I don't know, but perhaps this might sound familiar to you. It might echo a bit with some plans that you have, not quite working out as you expected it to. Paul's plan A had not worked out, and yet he writes that he is confident in God. Paul's plan B had not worked out, and yet he is confident in God. Paul was imprisoned in Rome. He would experience shipwrecks and beatings and imprisonments. And yet he writes, he is confident in God. And yet, Paul is confident in God. He's confident because he knows that in all circumstances, God is in control. And it seems the reason he knows this and the reason he trusts this is his experience of God's plans and the character and nature of God. Paul's experience of God's plans versus his own plans, and Paul's knowledge of who God is. We see in the beginning of Paul's letter to the Philippians that he is so thankful for them. He thanks God for them in verse 3. He prays for them with joy in verse 4. He holds them in his heart, verse 7. He yearns for them with the affection of Christ in verse 8. And he is thankful for them because of their partnership with him in the gospel in verse 5. I don't know, would he have had this joy in his life, this partnership, if his plans had worked out? If he had not gone to Philippi in Acts 16? Perhaps not. But was it his plan A, or even his plan B, to go to Philippi? No, it was God's plan. God's plan had exceeded Paul's plan. God saw where Paul needed to be, for the Philippians, but also perhaps for Paul, for that encouragement. But Paul was unable to see where to go until God told him. Paul had experienced the goodness of God's plans, and through them, he had become confident in God. He had experienced the goodness of God's plans. And the other reason for Paul's confidence in God is because of his knowledge of God's character and nature. I'm sure you remember, because you're all chewing on the sweets, the blindfolded sweet hunter. Or at least this half of the churches. I don't know if the other half got any sweets. You look a bit sad. The volunteer, their vision was limited by a blindfold. They were unable to even know where the sweets were. They knew they were out there, but they didn't know where they were. And they definitely couldn't plan their way ahead. There was lots of things in their way. But their guide from on high, Anna, well done, had far superior vision. She could see the big picture. She could see the best route. They had all the information that the sweet hunter just simply did not have. And God's far superior knowledge and vision, even better than Anna's in the gallery, is vividly described by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 55, verses 8 to 9. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Paul had experienced and understood God's character and nature as being the God whose ways and thoughts and plans are immeasurably higher than his own. Even in troubled circumstances, when all seemed chaos, Paul was able to trust and have confidence that God was in control. Paul was confident that God is in control in all circumstances. It may be that you are able to look at your life and see how you have in the past experienced God's faithfulness, or perhaps now you are experiencing the goodness of God's plan and know the goodness and greatness of God's vision. But it may be that your life feels anything other than well planned. It might not feel that God is in control at all. Your plan A, B, C might have all not worked out. And this is not something unusual. It's not something to be ashamed of. Many characters in the Bible experience the same. Just look at some of the Psalms, and you can see a person whose plans have not worked out and crying out to God for his vision. And not only characters in the Bible, many people, if not all of us today, experience our plans not working out. The things that we thought our life would contain, our strategies, our life goals, not working out. And for Paul, he experienced many troubles and difficulties, shipwrecks, beatings, imprisonments. And in those instances, when his experiences might have left him questioning God's plan, he could be confident in his knowledge in the character of God. That even when we cannot see a way forward, when we're blindfolded and separated from the good route, when everything seems chaos, We know because of his character and nature that God has a better vantage point, even better than standing in the gallery, that God remains faithful, that God remains in control. And the ultimate example of this is on the cross. Because as Jesus died, it may have looked like chaos and destruction had won. But despite humanity's severe act of violence, and in fact through it, God was bringing about the redemption of humanity, was bringing about something good. His plan was succeeding. The resurrection of Jesus showed that chaos does not, did not, and will not win. It doesn't win today any more than it won on that day. We can have confidence, even in the chaos, that God is in control, even perhaps when our own experiences seem to show different. Now, I know I've spent a lot of time on the reasons why Paul could have confidence, because I said I was going to talk about verse 6 of Philippians, and I haven't got there yet. I will. But it is essential to have this confidence in God firmly grounded before we look at the result of it. As I say, otherwise, it may all seem a bit flimsy, a bit flaky. But we are now, finally, turning to verse 6. The two things that Paul is confident in. Firstly, Paul was confident that God had begun something. He writes, I am confident that he who began a good work in you. Paul is confident that God has started something in the people of the church of Philippi. When the people of Philippi decided to follow Jesus Christ, there began something in them that God had initiated. Paul's confidence in this is because of what he sees in them. A visible change, a visible response to God's call on their lives. We see this first in the life of Lydia in Acts 16. While Paul first arrived in Philippi, he was speaking to a group of women, and the Lord is said to have opened the heart of Lydia, and she believed, she was baptized as a follower of Jesus, and then her response was to offer her house to the service of God. Do you see the pattern? She became a follower of Jesus, she answered the call on her life, and then she offered what she had to his service. There was action as well as faith. The action of responding, being an external reflection of the internal change that God had begun. That faith that had started to grow was reflected in her response. And what started with Lydia grew in Philippi, so that Paul could write in today's passage that they were partners in the gospel and partakers with him of grace, both in his imprisonment and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel. The Philippians' faith in Jesus went from an internal change, an internal spark inside them, to become an external reflection that confirmed and affirmed the good news of Jesus to those near them. Paul is confident that God had begun something in them because he saw their response. He saw their actions. He saw the outward reflection of the internal change, that good work that God had begun in them. And this response came out of the gifts that God had blessed them with. For Lydia, her response was to offer her house. For the Philippians, it was to offer Paul a financial gift. God had begun the same internal change, but the external response was different for different people. When we ask God to take control of our life, when we accept the call, when the faith, that internal change that God has begun, starts growing inside us, what is your response? What is the external reflection of that internal faith that God has begun? What are the gifts that God has blessed you with that you can respond with? Our faith in God is the start. It's that internal change. It's the good work that God has begun. The start of God beginning a transformation of us into the people that God created us for and longs for us to be. This internal change, the beginning of God's work, should be reflected in our external lives. I love the song that we sang, Shine from the Inside Out, so that the world will see you live in me. It's much better put than I've done it. God started something inside us that enables us to shine from the inside out. The external reflection, our response to what God has begun. But there's a second thing that Paul is confident of, just as important as the first. The second part of verse 6, I'm confident that he will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Paul was confident that God will complete what he has begun. If Paul could see the beginning of lives transformed, he was also confident that God would complete the transformation. the Philippians were certainly not a finished or completed article. It was a process that was happening. It was a work in progress. But they could be confident, they could be assured that it would be completed. Paul continues in his letter to assure them of his prayers for them. In verses 9 to 11, he writes, "It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ." The process of God working transformation in the Philippians' lives and in our lives is the growth of love, that love may abound more and more. The continued growth of love to each other within the church and overflowing from there outside to the community, to the town, to the nation, to the world, abounding more and more. And hand in hand with abounding love comes knowledge and discernment, knowing what is good and right, knowing what is excellent. As love grows, it seems our desire to know God grows. He is the God of love, after all. And as our desire to know God grows, our experience of God grows. And as our experience grows, our love grows. And it just goes on. Love grows. Our desire to know God grows. Our experience of who he is grows. And so our love grows. But it's also important to note that there is a completion date of this process. And we need to note what it is, because otherwise we will become disheartened. Because we are not all perfect yet. You can tell that from your view, where you're sitting. I can tell that from my view, where I am. None of us are perfect yet. The completion date for what God has begun is the day of Christ, when Jesus returns to reconcile all things to himself, to make all things right. We, like the Philippians, are a work in progress. We do make mistakes. We let ourselves down, we let God down, we let each other down. We frustrate ourselves because we are not progressing as fast as we would like. But two things you can be sure of if you've responded to the call to follow Jesus. One, like Paul, like Lydia, like the Philippians, we can be confident that God has begun a good work in us. That internal change. Two, we can be confident that it will be completed. Not immediately, but it will be completed. We will be presented pure and blameless through Jesus on the day of Christ, full of the fruit of righteousness, being in the right place before God, being in right standing before God. And why can we be confident of this? Most importantly, we can be confident because of who God is, his character, his nature, and what he has done. He is in control in all circumstances and all situations. Like Paul, even when our experiences are troubled, are chaotic, our plans are not working out as we want them to, we can be confident that chaos does not win. We can look to the cross and see the victory there. God has defeated chaos. So even when our plans A or B or C or whichever letter your plans are currently on, we can be confident that God's vantage point is greater. God's vision is greater. He knows the route to the sweets, or something probably even better. God is always in control, and we can be confident, like Paul, in that.